Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Yes, indeed, The Advertising Show, brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. You can visit Advertising Age Magazine online at adage.com. Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production. By the way, we also stream live on the web at theadvertisingshow.com, and that is one way that we stay in touch with you throughout the week with your questions, and we, of course, answer some of those questions here on the radio. But just go there, and you'll check it out. We stream live. We also archive some of the past shows, many of the past shows,
all
at theadvertisingshow.com.
All of the past shows.
All of the past shows.
Yeah.
98% of the past shows.
True.
Okay?
Right.
Something like that. This hour, our special guests are Julie Winehouse and Steve Oakes, principals of Hero Product Placement. Hero. Love the website, too. I love the action figure Hero cartoon characters on their website.
Pretty cool.
So we got Julie and Steve on the phone from Los Angeles, and we will have them on just a little bit later on this hour. We have, for your listening enjoyment, of course, Mary Lou Quinlan, Just Ask a Woman, that feature coming up this segment. We also have The Wacky World of Marketing. That's at the bottom of the hour. And what else do we have? What is it, good or bad today?
It is good.
It's good?
Yeah.
Good news.
Familiar with iPod?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they've got a great TV spot out right now.
Spots.
We're going to talk about that.
This is good.
Yeah. Hey, Ray, did you realize that patients may soon be able to buy underwear designed to detect heart rhythm abnormalities?
I heard something about that. Some chip placed in the underwear or something like that.
Well, that was your problem years ago, but this is an electronic issue. Yes.
Anybody see that, Ruffles?
Apparently, even these underwear can call for an ambulance in case of an emergency. Philips Electronics, of course, a premier electronics company located out of the Netherlands, researchers have developed sensors that measure body signals, such as heart rate information, which can be sewn into bars. sewn into bras, I should say, and shorts, and which the chip module that monitors these signals. And what's interesting about this, Ray, is that 3 months worth of data can be stored in this particular module. And, of course, the way you're thinking is, that does that mean I don't have to change my underwear that often? But, no, that's not the case. But what's interesting is it might take a few years before a commercial product will be on the market because different interested parties, such as doctors, telecom operators, and insurance companies, will have to agree on how to use this particular technology. So, you know, in the future, we could be, you know, hearing things like, my goodness, my underwear just called my office.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I don't know. What would be another? I guess you'd have to get rid of the reach out and touch someone campaign.
That's real personal, yeah.
Yeah.
That's real, real
anyway,
personal.
Anyway, the world is changing.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Is it boxers or briefs?
Well, it depends. Did you get a long call or a short call? Yeah, or depends, right. No, and plus, not to be outdone, the bras will be also included. And that, of course, they're thinking forward because, you know, a lot of women may not be wearing the lowers.
Okay.
So they got to have the uppers.
Well, you're
for the
really
monitor.
Walking yourself into the corner there,
aren't
you? I'm
walking a thin line here.
Yes,
right?
You are.
Yeah.
And seems like it's a rather appropriate time to bring on Mary Lou. And
speaking of thongs.
Don't you think so?
Yeah.
I do.
And now, stay tuned for What Women Want. Insights from listening to your most powerful customer. Here's Mary Lou Quinlan.
Why do women take so long to make up their minds? I know it's a cliche, but there's truth in it. Men have bragged to me that when they are faced with a big decision, they get the facts, then they pull the trigger. Given the same decision, women would call that behavior brash or short-sighted. When women are faced with a big decision, not whether to order the vinaigrette or the ranch, no, a big decision, like what insurance policy to buy or what major travel package to book, they call a whole invisible crowd into the room. I call them her board of directors. These are the cadre of experts in her life, some of them real, some of them virtual, whom she trusts for their expertise in a given area. For instance, if she's considering an investment, her board can include her Uncle Ernie the accountant, her neighbor who works for a discount brokerage and gives her free advice, an online source, even Joe Kernan on CNBC. She scrolls through that mental Rolodex and adds their thoughts together, and then turns to the ultimate tiebreaker, her gut. Sure, it takes a little longer, but she feels better when she's made a better decision. What can you do now that you know this? Give her time to decide. Don't disrespect her sources. Best of all, figure out a way to get your brand on her board. It'll happen if she trusts you. It just takes a little time.
This has been What Women Want from The Advertising Show with your host, Mary Lou Quinlan, CEO of Just Ask a Woman. To learn more about what women want, visit justaskawoman.com.
This is Mary Lou Quinlan reminding you, if you want to know what women want, stop selling and start listening.
Wonder if Mary Lou's husband, she's married, right?
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
wonder if he listens to her. Well, we don't want that yet.
If he's smart, he does.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And, you know, that advice could also be out for good advice for our younger single listeners.
Probably so.
You want to know what women think?
Shut up your mouth.
Quit selling and start listening.
Hey, Martha Stewart doesn't expect to go to prison. Of course, neither did what's her name from from the hotel chain.
Right.
But there again.
Lindsay. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes. The lady at the hotel.
That married the old guy.
Yeah, exactly. It says Martha Stewart indicted in the stock trading scandal over the summer, says she's scared but does not believe she'll go to prison. Comments released this past week, ABC News came in an interview conducted over the weekend by Baba Wawa that will air in November, 2 months before Stewart's scheduled trial. Who wouldn't be scared, Stewart says, according to ABC excerpt. Of course I'm scared. The last place I'd ever want to go is prison. I don't think I'll be going to prison, though, she said. Stewart has made two court appearances and indicted on the 4th. She's scheduled for trial on the 12th of January.
Helmsley is who we were thinking of.
Leona.
Yeah.
Leona.
And, you know, whatever...
She's out of prison now.
Yeah.
She?
Oh, she's been out for a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, wherever Martha gets sentenced to, if she does get sentenced and sent to prison,
yes,
they're going to do a total remake of all of the all of the cookies and the...
Trading spaces.
Oh, yeah. They're going to have a... They'll probably do a reality show, I would imagine, on that.
Did you hear about the guy that got out of jail, I think it was earlier this week, tied 12 bed sheets together? These are prison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he got out of a window. Why is there a window big enough for a prisoner to get out of in a prison? I don't understand.
Well,
that.
And what's interesting is to think that they're still using the old tie the bed sheet routine.
Yeah, I thought that was really hysterical. But the one guy, the other guy who was his accomplice in getting out, apparently fell at the roof like 60 feet.
I did see that. That was, you know, what prison was that? Was it down south here? Or?
I do not know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we should know that, shouldn't we?
Well, we should.
Because if it was around here, I'd like to know that too.
Right.
I don't know.
A lot of our prison listenership right now is is thinking about this same thing, right?
Yeah. Tie a bed sheet together.
Right. The problem is you usually only have one roommate, so you got two sheets between you.
I know, but this guy collected 12. A decorator set.
Yeah.
Julie Winehouse and Steve Oakes, principals of Hero Product Placement, on the way here on The Advertising Show, will be joining us in just a little while. We've got the Wacky World of Marketing coming up this hour and Goodvertising as well. So if you went anywhere, you'd miss all this great stuff, and that'd be really dumb, wouldn't it?
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Norman, there's something I have to tell you.
It's my breath.
No, it's your feet.
Summer 72. Norman Lasseter has hot, sweaty feet. His socks squeak.
I feel like the village beast.
When your feet feel hot and rotten, and your sweaty socks are squeaking,
Ammon's Foot Cooler.
You just spray it on your tootsies and get the comfort you are seeking.
It is The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins, along with Brad Forsyth, and a classic Chuck Bluer spot for Ammons Foot Powder. Ernie Anderson on that voiceover, too. Good spot.
Oh, great spot.
Good spot. We have a couple of guests joining us this hour, and they are principals of Hero Product Placement. Julie Winehouse started her career in product placement about 12 years ago, one of the largest product placement agencies where she was at. 4 years later, in 97, she started Hero Product Placement. Now, with over a decade in the product placement industry, Julie has landed literally hundreds of product placements. She'll have probably one on the show today, and we'll be unsuspecting and won't even know about it.
Right.
But it'll be there,
that's
right?
Stealth.
And stealthy, exactly. Mm-hmm. And Steve Oakes has been her advisor since Hero's inception as writer of dozens of animated cartoons, Rugrats, Disney's Recess, and or creator, executive producer of the Game Show Network's National Lampoon's Funny Money. Steve brings a logical overview and hands-on production experience to Hero. So, Steve and Julie from Los Angeles, you're on the Advertising Show. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Hello, how are you?
Thanks for both of you joining us. This is one of the few calls that are interviews, Ray, that we have where we have two guests. So you mentioned National Lampoon's Funny Money, which is carried on the Game Show Network that Steve's involved with. Would that be a product placement from the Treasury Department with their new 20s out, or what's going on with that?
We'd like to think we represent money.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't.
Well, you know, last segment, Ray mentioned about the prisoner escape with the sheets. Could there have been a product placement that was missed right there?
Yeah, we think that Martha Stewart sheets would have been great. Yeah, especially since she can have a tie-in later. We're thinking like a nice 180 count in sort of earth tone.
Well, earth tones would be a great selection for color because it would blend in with the facility, I suppose.
Right.
You know, let's jump into product placement and give our audience a little insight as to the process. For those that may not understand the process, take us through how a company might decide upon a product placement.
Want me to start that one? All right. I think that a company is already interested in gaining exposure at the point when they start considering product placement. I don't think we have anybody on our roster necessarily that isn't already involved in advertising in other ways. So if a company were interested in making sure, let's say that their commercials weren't skipped over from PBR or just to really gain a ubiquitous presence, they'd get in touch with a product placement agency. We would assess all of the tools at our disposal, and I'll throw to Julie to discuss what some of those tools would be. And we would then utilize our contacts in film and television to implicate those products and those tools into film and television.
So by the time they contact a company like your own, Julie, they've already decided upon, do they have some semblance of an idea of whether they want to go through television or motion pictures, or do you help guide that process? And also, what about objectives? Do they usually have objectives already determined, or do you help them in determining that as well?
Typically, their objective is exposure. So they're not always certain exactly whether film or TV works best. I think they look at film because it's projected onto a large screen. But film has a longer turnaround time, so depending on what they're interested in promoting, TV might suit them better because perhaps that product is being launched within a month, and so TV can accommodate that turnaround time.
Mm-hmm. That strikes me as a bit funny in that a company or a product would not have more of a specified objective in a product placement endeavor. Certainly with a new product, it makes a lot of sense to just get as much exposure at the least potential cost to the advertiser. But when it comes to an established product or a product that may have a few years under its belt as far as distribution, that they wouldn't have more greater specificity in terms of their objectives.
Well, there are many sort of consumer end products that always require exposure. They always want to be in the forefront of people's minds. So it really, they're not incredibly specific. I mean, their list of don'ts is probably much shorter than the list of do's in terms of where you can put them and how you can expose them.
Mm.
So if, let's say a client of ours would be Silk Soy Milk. Well, that they sell soy milk. They sell soy milk every day. That's what they do. So if we can have soy milk in people's refrigerators and supermarket shelves, in a television or film environment, that's good for Silk every day.
Mm-hmm. And that was a product placement right there, Ray, because they represent Silk. No, that's okay. We have our executive producer is keeping a tally, and then we send an invoice at the end of the show. But
yeah.
What I wanted to ask you, Let's just kind of take through a little bit of role-playing. Do we find that an advertiser, and using Silk soy milk as the example, and there I go plugging, Ray, their product or their client, but if they, on the first meeting with a company such as that, obviously they would need to say our target audience or our target consumer for our product is 18-34, whatever the case may be, male or female skewing, whatever that might be in terms of gender, and that they might want to go so far as to say, I mean, how far do you define that, the active, health-conscious individual, and do you try to align that specifically with content that would appeal to that type of market?
Well, they definitely do have a target consumer, and what they'd like to do is replace milk, because Silk, in particular, happens to be one of the best-tasting soy milks. There's another plus for you. But they want it to be something that not just necessarily the most healthy person drinks, but the average Joe drinks, because they need more protein in their diet, and Silk or soy milk helps lower their cholesterol. So as far as targeted shows, it's pretty much anything. Mm-hmm. It can target tweens, or it can target your 18 to 49 demographic. But what's interesting is that a lot of times companies want to target specific shows, and Friends isn't obvious because it hits such a wide demographic. But one thing to keep in mind, and you, I don't know if you guys know this or not, do you know President Bush's favorite film?
Well, actually, we reported on that here, Ray, several months ago.
I believe it was Animal House. No, it's not right.
No, actually, we went through a list of presidents, current, and of course that would be singular, and past, and their favorite films. And I'm trying to remember. If you gave me a multiple choice, I would guess it. But go ahead, Julie. What's the film?
It's Austin Powers.
Really?
And
oh, you shagged me, baby.
Actually, I tried watching Clinton's favorite film. I ran out of quarters.
Well, I was going to say, you know, if you go watch former President Clinton's favorite film, you want to make sure and take a. You're in Los Angeles, so that'd
no,
be a Los Angeles
what you say now.
Sunday Times.
Yes,
or a trench coat. But go, so
you know this Silk soy milk. Let's go back to this thing for a minute.
Let's keep saying
Silk soy milk, because we just did an event with the American Heart Association, and on the T-shirt, Silk soy milk.
Really? Yeah.
So they're getting more exposure today than anything. This is not an infomercial for Silk soy milk.
In the interest of balance, I drink the Pacific brand, by the way.
You do?
Unsweetened, and buy it at Whole
Goat's
Foods.
Milk, is that right?
Whole Foods. So there's two plugs right there.
Oh, I'll send you a coupon for Silk and change your ways.
Okay, and assuming that it's a free coupon, meaning for a free as opposed to a cents off coupon, that's the only way I'll switch.
That's the way it'll be.
Okay. Well, if it's not, maybe you can go to a place that gives triple the coupon power or something.
That's true.
You can make money on that soy milk.
That's true. I'll get money back plus the product.
Hey, our special guests today are Julie Winehouse and Steve Oakes, principals of Hero Product Placement, placing Silk soy milk, soy silk milk. On the advertising show here, we've got to take a break. In just a minute, we've got the Wacky World of Marketing with our executive producer, Bruce Abbott, and also back with Julie and Steve in just a minute. So, it's Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth on the advertising show. You know, talking about websites, what about our website, theadvertisingshow.com?
Why don't we plug that?
Too.
Yeah.
It's a good place to go when you want to find out a little bit more about what we do and some of the people that we have had on the show and will have on the show as well. So, in just a minute, we'll be back with more.
It's time for the Wacky World of Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update heads to Australia, where brothels recruited extra specialists during the Rugby World Cup to cater for the needs of posh English fans. Brothels are also said to have been stocking up on whips as thousands of English rugby union supporters arrive in Australia for the big event. A spokesperson for Australia's adult entertainment industry told the BBC, "The upper classes in England, we know they like spanking." He said brothels are gearing up after being surprised by demand during previous big get-togethers. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
I dread to think what became of her. That haunting, exquisite creature. A note of music.
Save me.
A thoughtless word from any one of us. A disturbance of the air could start an earthquake in her. No one could protect her, dearest, from the passion she inspired. How could so much love do so?
Well, there we go. What was that?
Earthquake.
Earthquake, what?
Yeah, earthquake.
No, what was the perfume? Obsession?
Oh,
no.
It was?
I don't know,
I thought it was
like
the
that.
Film for Earthquake. Was that another Chuck Blur?
No, just no. A spot.
Yeah, well,
just
I was wondering what spot. The smell was in here.
Perfumey, right?
Yeah.
Special guest today on the Advertising Show, Principles of Hero Product Placement. It's Julie Winehouse and Steve Oaks, and they're in California today.
And yeah. if you're near a computer, check out HeroPP, which of course stands for product placement, HeroPP.com.
That's unique.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't know if you know this, Ray. I've been watching Leno just to give myself a Letterman break the last few weeks. And when he does the log on to, and then he gives his website.
Yeah.
I swear to you, the last couple of weeks, he's been going www and then dot, and he leaves one out. First of all, Ray and I don't understand why people say www anyway. You don't really need to do that. But anyway, let's jump back into
Maybe somewhere in North Dakota you probably need to do that.
Well, that's true.
That's true. Anyway, guys, thanks for being on the show today.
A pleasure.
Julie and Steve, I want to throw this out to both of you. You can decide who wants to take this. What's the craziest idea you've ever heard for a product placement?
The craziest application, like the actual application of a product?
Where it actually was executed and was played out, and looking back on it, it was just wacky, crazy.
Oh, that's a really good one.
I certainly know of companies that they have contacted me wanting a product placed that was ridiculous, and one was a little lever that you put on your toilet so that the lady doesn't have to touch the toilet seat.
Oh, Ray has that at his house, yes.
When you think about it, they really don't show bathrooms in film and TV unless it's a something about Mary type scene.
True. So
Kill Bill.
So have there been products that companies have approached you for work, Julie or Steve, and you've turned them down?
Yes, we have, but I mean, only because if we don't feel like we can really do a spectacular job for a company, it's very difficult for us to take their money.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, and this we think is a great invention, and in fact we were hoping to actually get involved with the inventor, but we just don't know how to apply this to product placement. A guy came in with a product called Curveware, and Curveware is this uniquely shaped silverware. The man has sort of reinvented the wheel on silverware that kind of curves. I don't know how to explain it. It sort of curves around and back. And you almost hold it as if you were holding handlebars and the brakes if you were riding a bike.
You kidding?
That's sort of the configuration of your hand.
Hmm.
And while there are some applications, perhaps in sci-fi, etc., it would have been very difficult for us to really outperform on that contract.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
So we're certainly not taking anything away from the inventor, but yeah, that was something we felt like we really could. However, on the other side of that, we represent Howry, which is one of the biggest law firms in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, they have us on retainer.
Really?
and we are finding applications for that.
So, do any trade with them, or just it's all cash, right? That's what you're...
We try not to speak with them. We feel that anything we say is actionable.
Sure. So to get them placed properly would be what, in a waiting room at the LAPD, or what?
More verbal references.
Yeah, these guys, by the way, these guys are just a huge law firm. You'd never see them in a waiting room at a police department.
Right.
So I think, is a runaway jury opening this weekend?
Yeah.
It is opening this weekend, and there will be a phone call from Howry in that film.
Yeah. Well, that's...
But we believe it will be there.
That's interesting. And, you know, you touch on an interesting point there. A lot of people listening might be thinking, wait a minute, you just said it's part of the film, but you're not sure how it will play out. Talk a little bit about the ins and outs of product placement, and I think a lot of, again, the behind the scenes that people don't understand, and that you embark upon an idea for a product placement, and then there's a bit of unknown as you enter into that process. Talk about that, if you would.
Ultimately, and this sort of comes from the production side, which is why I'll grab the question. Ultimately, film and television, and of course this is debatable, but it is an art. and that means there are a lot of artists between the, you know, our brands and the screen. Those include set decorators, prop masters, cinematographers and cameramen, directors, and finally editors. So we can certainly get our products on the set, and we do this very frequently, but there is a ratio in place that we, and by the way, we do manage expectations with our clients. We tell them flat out.
Sure.
They may need to say yes, and I'll just discuss television right here, but they may need to say yes to like 9 or 10 television placements before we can hope to derive one contract satisfying exposure.
That's, I think, very interesting. And then once you do, we only have just a minute left in this segment, once you do find a TV opportunity, then you even have some variables as far as how it plays out once it's completed, correct?
We have no idea. I'll give you a very good example on Will and Grace. We were very fortunate. Will and Grace was sort of late getting a set decorated, and they were using Panera product. Panera Bread is one of our clients.
Mm-hmm.
And our coordinator was on set, which, by the way, hopefully we can get to this in the next segment, is how we actually execute product placement.
Oh, yeah.
How personal it is.
Mm-hmm.
And her relationship was such with the set decorator that he actually asked her for assistance. So not only were we representing the client, we were actually putting them on the set. Of course, the set decorator took a few away. She wouldn't have been doing her job if she didn't
over
with logos.
Mm-hmm.
However, even at that, until we actually see the finished product, we can't guarantee that that's going to be an exposure that will satisfy our client.
We've got to take a break here, Steve. We're going to talk to Steve and Julie in just a moment, continue the conversation about product placement with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show. Stay with us.
Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth are taking your questions at theadvertisingshow.com. You're listening to The Advertising Show on the SSI Radio Network.
What can I get you today?
Fruit salad and cottage cheese.
No. Bacon, cheeseburger, and french fries. And if you could make them really greasy, I like them greasy. That's not what I want. I want a vat of grease, and I just want to drink it down until my heart explodes and my limp, lifeless body collapses right between the pork chop parmesan and Captain Ahab's deep-fried tuna chunks. Would you like slaw with that?
MTV. Battered bone chunk, deep-fried honey glaze, plugged in and ready to serve.
It's what we all want. We want all that greasy fried. No, we don't either.
Crisco missed an opportunity there.
They sure did.
Yeah.
Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth with our special guest today, Principles of Hero Product Placement, Julie Winehouse and Steve Oakes.
Julie, take us behind the scenes a bit of how a agency such as your own might have a person actually either on a motion picture set or a TV shoot and actually looking after your client's product and doing what needs to be done to make sure that the product gets on the right side of the lens, so to speak.
Well, one example would be to go back to that Will and Grace example earlier, in that one of our coordinators was helping to create an environment that's very realistic to a Panera Bread location. So we have to have knowledge of what our clients' locations look like and dress those locations on production to be as realistic as possible, keeping in mind that the producers and the director and the set decorator already had an image for what that location is supposed to look like.
So there's some negotiation that goes on, I say.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And this person would be dealing with the producer, the director. Who would they be talking with?
We work with set decorators and property masters, and
mm-hmm.
in some cases, if we're creating a location on set, we're building it, we're working with a production designer,
mm-hmm.
and the Panera Bread designers are creating blueprints and working with the production designers to make sure that we can fit that cafe in the location that they have on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot about building relationships with your property masters and your set decorators and the producers, and understanding what our clients are able to do and what they want, what their objectives are,
well,
and making sure it meshes with production so that as it reaches the screen, it's seamless. It doesn't look like any blatant product placement, and is very natural to what production's trying to accomplish.
Well, it sounds like product placement and agencies working with studios and television folks is a lot about relationships, and I'd like to pose a thought here, and it's a little bit of a surprise, I know, for both Julie and Steve, and that is I want to challenge you guys. I want to challenge you guys to get some kind of product placement for the advertising show, and what we'll do is we'll follow the process throughout the next several weeks as we contact both Steve and Julie, and we say, Julie, so how are you working on getting the advertising show some kind of exposure on either a television or a motion picture, and we'll just keep updating our audience as we go along. And I know this is totally surprising them because they had no idea I was going to say this.
Okay. I can do it.
You can?
However, we're going to need materials from you. So that's, we can't just going after verbals is a little
bit. We will send you all kinds of materials, but I need to tell you up front, draw a circle on a piece of paper, and that designates what our budget is for this. Do you have that ready?
We can probably get away with some digital files and things like that, art files.
We will send you material, and I'm serious about this. We will bring people up to date each week as we progress through this, and we will make sure people know that Hero Product Placement is working diligently to get the advertising show exposure in some kind of product placement that is not X-rated.
You know, reimbursing you for all that silk exposure?
Well, we will mention not only silk soy milk, but you're just going to get us your entire account list, and we will mention that.
This segment of the advertising show is being brought to you by Silk Soy Milk.
And Hero Product Placement.
And Panera, and Hero Product Placement.
All right, and wash that down with a Hero sandwich bought at Panera Bread.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a very good company. Our other pro bono account is Amnesty International.
Oh, it is? Well, that'll come in handy with the law firm, I suppose.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, you know, has reality TV helped or hurt product placement, do you think? We only have about a minute left.
I would say that reality TV approaches product placement from such a different perspective that it really doesn't reflect on our application of the craft at all. One of them is more of an advertising agency milieu, and the other one is absolutely a more stealth, special forces tactical operation. We don't get to do shock and awe in product placement.
And certainly I think we would all agree that the more subtle that you can be with a product placement, certainly in today's environment with so many over-the-top product placements such as the restaurant and other programs, is much more effective, don't you think?
Well, last night we had three clients gain exposures, in the opening like 10 minutes of Yes, Dear. My guess is that viewers of Yes, Dear did not walk away feeling like they had just had product shoved in their faces. And I think when you walk away from some of the reality shows, you do walk away feeling like you've just been sponsored.
Yeah, it's gotten shoved in your face. Hey, Steve, we are out of time, unfortunately. But Steve and Julie from Los Angeles. Steve, go cut your lawn.
Will do.
Thanks for joining us here on The Advertising Show. Thanks, guys.
Thank
Ray
you.
Shillings and Brad Forsyth with you. We'll be back.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Reach out and touch someone.
Hi, honey, it's me. Yeah, well, it was a piece of cake, actually. We all got here. We got about 17,000 feet of snow out here.
Why that?
We got ourselves a ton of firewood and a great fire going.
Card game going.
I'll be right there, guys. Of course I love you.
I love you too.
It's in a course
I
love you.
Card.
Just the guys.
Come on.
Put them on. Good night, doggy, woggy, woggy, woggy.
It's The Advertising Show. There's an Ernie Anderson spot, a Chuck Bloor spot as well.
Yeah.
And a classic spot on The Advertising Show. Had fun talking with our guests this hour. Funny people.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could tell why they're in the business they're in. Julie Winehouse and Steve Oakes, principals of Hero Product Placement at HeroPP.com.
And, you know, if you didn't hear, we'll remind you, last segment, we're going to do a little experiment with them, and they're going to get the advertising show, be it audio or logo or many of those
Something,
things, product placed on various TV and motion pictures, and we're going to be an ongoing update for the show here for our listeners and tell you where you can see the advertising show placed on television or motion picture.
And the way this works, in exchange for that, we've signed up for a lifetime subscription of Silk Soy Milk.
True.
Yeah.
Which right. We're going to start drinking right after the show. And then also, we're going to bring everybody up to date on the progress of the advertising show product placement. So it's going to be a little, what would you call it? A little experiment, a little showcase, a little...
A little game. It's a little game.
It's a game.
Yeah. Every week we look at the bad and the good of advertising. This week we take the good side. That'd be side A, I guess, for those of you who remember 45s, okay?
And now it's time for the Advertising Show's Advertising Showcase, an outstanding example of on-target advertising for the good stuff. Here's Ray and Brad.
Okay, which is the good stuff? Are you holding that in your left hand or your right hand?
Both.
Okay.
And my left hand is from adcritic.com, which is, of course, the website for Creativity Magazine, which is where I viewed this spot over and over and over to be able to write this. But I did originally see this on television last week,
okay.
Which is the Apple. It's entitled Hip Hop, and it is by Apple. And, of course, the product that we're talking about here is the iPod.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you haven't seen it, it's a wonderfully engaging effort by TBWA Shia Day out of Los Angeles. And the spot shows, if you haven't seen it, it shows individual dancers in silhouette against brightly colored backgrounds. And these dancers are young hipsters that all have one thing in common, Ray.
Yes.
They have a white iPod in their hands and strapped to their ears so that you can kind of see the iPod show up because, again, in black silhouette, they're dancing to this calypso-style music. And it's not until the last 10 seconds of the spot that you actually even learn that the spot's for iPod, which appears graphically on the colored background screen.
Gee golly, what a concept.
Yeah, and then a little more dancing with the silhouette, and then we go back to on screen, and it says Mac or PC. And then the spot closes with just the Apple logo, of course, the one with a little bite out of it. You've seen it.
Sure.
Piece of trivia, by the way. I know you're into music, Ray. Hey Mama is the song behind the spot, which is by the Black Eyed Peas, which I'm sure many of our young listeners are aware of, and is sure to be more popular here soon because it's now on a TV spot.
That TV spot also has the look of the Target spot, and it also has the look of, what was the other one? Oh, Land's End, the way Land's End are marketing their stuff. It's
right.
Kind of really cool stuff.
Right. Well, you know what I really like about this spot, Ray, is that I think it resonates very well with its Target, which in my opinion, certainly most people would think an iPod has a younger demographic, mm-hmm. but the way I think they're defining who their Target is here, they have one common denominator for the consumers they're targeting for this spot. They all love music.
Okay.
And I think that was maybe the thought behind doing a silhouette type dancing individual there because, you know, how old is that person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're a young at heart type person that wants to think you're hip and cool and what baby boomers out there don't want to feel that way.
Sure.
If you love music, you relate to this spot, and if you love the spot, it makes you want an iPod, and I think it does all those things. So it's a great execution by TBWA Shia Day out of Los Angeles. If you want to see the spot, log on to adcritic.com, A-D-Critic, adcritic.com, and sign up, and you can view that spot and many other spots. It's a great website.
And it's a free thing to sign up to at AdCritic, right?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
So you got to pay.
Well, you do, but you can look around there and you can.
You just can't go deep into the site.
You can't. That's right. You can check their homepage, news, latest spots, et cetera. But to view latest spots, you can read about latest spots, but to view latest spots, you have to sign up and pay the fiddler.
Okay.
Yeah.
We had a good time talking with our guests this past hour. Julie Winehouse and Steve Oakes, remember their website is heropp.com, Hero Product Placement. We've got Frank Zaza on the way, creative director and CEO of ITVX. That's coming up next hour on the Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth. And we've got, we played that AT&T spot earlier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They've come out with a new slogan, okay? They're scaling back their 20-month-old M-Life campaign.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard the M-Life?
Sure.
For a new advertising effort that echoes its vintage Reach Out and Touch Someone theme, which we played with Ernie Anderson. But here's the new theme.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out on the wireless service America trusts. Now, how in the heck are you going to remember? Reach out on the wireless service America trusts.
Somebody told them to keep their line fresh and I just added a bunch to it.
I do not understand that.
I don't agree
either. Some good creative there too for the commercials though that they're talking about here. Really gets into the lifestyles of people, and I think they do a pretty good job. But I sure don't like the tagline, that's for sure.
Could you repeat it?
No.
No, I couldn't either.
No, I'd put it down and it's gone.
Reach out and touch somebody along the World Wide Web.
Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. If you want to go online, it's a great place to get the magazine. If you want the paper version, that's cool too. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth is a Big Radio Midgets production on the SSI Radio Network.
Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
And today it's a product placement extravaganza on the Advertising Show, right?
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Yeah.
Let's see. I wonder what Frank is going to put into our show this year. Would it be Reese's Pieces or something like that?
Could be.
Could be
Junior
Jello.
Mints.
Or
the Seinfeld episode.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Detergent, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Nabisco. Something like that. Or Bumblebee Tuna. Frank Zass is going to join us this hour. Frank is the creative director and the chief executive officer at ITVX, and Frank is in New York. Is that right, Brad?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this hour it's Frank. We'll have him on in just a little while. We've got Patrick Meyer, Fusion 5, and he'll be joining us in just a few moments here with his feature. The Advertising Show also has the Wacky World of Marketing. And let's see, who else do we have? Andy Borowitz this
Andy
hour,
Borowitz,
too.
Andy Borowitz, yeah, so later in the hour.
Did you see the Coca-Cola, the long-form advertainment program, by any chance?
Mm-mm, missed it.
It's set to launch this past week. Soundcheck is a showcase of exclusive video and music content on the TiVo system.
Oh, okay? Yeah, I've read about it, but I missed it. No.
Okay, recording artist Sting, Mary J. Bilgey, Ashanti, Leona Ness star in the Soundcheck feature, which includes 25 minutes of interviews, music videos, behind-the-scenes footage, recording sessions, and live performances. So there we have.
You know, I was read about that. TiVo apparently is understanding that if they're going to do more than just provide a personal video recorder, they're attempting to become a channel separate of being a personal video recorder,
right,
to provide content. And I think it's really a smart idea to do that because, they're competing with the cable companies now and their ability to provide a TiVo-like device,
sure,
a digital top box top. Anyway, it'll be interesting to see where TiVo goes in the future.
We'll find out. By the way, the Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit online at adage.com.
You know, you're a big fan of Paula Zahn's, aren't you?
Sure.
Yeah.
She's a Houstonian, or used to be.
Used to work in our local market here of Houston. That's correct, on the local, I think it was the NBC affiliate here. What's interesting here, on the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, AJC.com, there's an article, and it shows actually the billboard here. If you haven't heard about this, Paula Zahn's new show on CNN is performing so poorly, Ray, that they have actually,
really?
Fox has put up a billboard that says that they would like to have CNN bring back Connie Chung.
Oh, jeez.
Apparently, the new billboard by Fox that was erected near the CNN Center reads, here's the headline, "Come home, Connie. CNN needs you." And then underneath that, in smaller type, "Brought to you by your friends at Fox News."
That's great.
Now, apparently, this is like across the street from the CNN Center.
Yeah.
CNN officials, of course, were not available for content. But you may recall, and we've talked about it here on the show, when CNN canceled Connie Chung Tonight in March, apparently the network was not doing that bad with ratings. But they decided that it was a bit of a they caught some flack about the tabloid style of Connie Chung Tonight program. So they brought Zahn on, which was designed to sharpen CNN's hard news focus. But apparently the ratings for Paula Zahn and her program have not done very well. Actually, they've been very disappointing.
They need to put Paula back on in the mornings, I think.
And maybe Connie needs – well, I mean, let's look at it. CNN, if they were to follow the lead of Fox News, which that's meaning they're behind Fox News.
Right.
Maybe that's not what people are wanting in terms of the, you know, the old CNN stuff. They're wanting more cutting edge. They're wanting more controversy. And those seem to be the kind of programs that are working today on news channels on the cable.
Very interesting. It'll be interesting to see what they do with her, too.
It should.
Let's take a break with Patrick Meyer here on The Advertising Show.
Welcome to Understanding the Future Now. It's the Marketing Insider featuring Patrick Meyer.
As the Marketing Insider, I need to share with you what's really going on inside the brains of CMOs and top marketers. You think it's the same old? No, it's not. There is a revolution going on. Not all marketers get it, but it's coming. Here are nuggets that I'm hearing every day. One marketer stood up and pounded on the table and said, "It's all about growth. It's not about reach and frequency. If my business doesn't grow, I'm not going to be here." A similar comment in a different category. "My agency has no clue how to drive my business forward. And trust me, media is not the solution." Another marketer commented, "Consumer insight, overtalked, underdelivered, and never connected to driving the business forward." What she realized was that 95% of her budget she was spending was on tracking the past and practically nothing on connecting today and tomorrow. Another top marketer coming out of a management meeting said, "My biggest obstacle to driving my business forward is my own senior management. They're stuck in the ivory tower, stuck 10 to 15 years back, and wouldn't know an innovative idea or passion-generating idea if it fell out of the sky." My retort, "You need to take your management out of the tower and immerse them in what's really going on." Another marketer on integrated marketing, "My dilemma with my agency is about 360. My team believes 360 is about business building. They believe 360 is about messaging. That's a big difference." Here's one that will make a lot of people cringe. "Madison Avenue is totally obsolete. So is the 30-second commercial, the corporate sponsorship, the agency as brand strategist, the importance of account management. The entire model is broken." This marketer's frustration was incredibly high, and he is looking for new solutions. Another interesting comment, "You don't need a buzz plan. Your entire marketing plan should be a buzz plan." Lastly, one marketer commented, "There's so much marketing wallpaper. If the consumer can't talk about it, we refuse to do it." These, my friends, are the kinds of things going around in the brains of CMOs. Every week, I'm sharing pieces with you, but there is a revolution going on. It's time for you to join it.
You've been listening to The Marketing Insider, heard every week here on The Advertising Show. Join us next week for more insight into the future of marketing.
This is Patrick Meyer from Fusion 5. And remember, the marketing revolution has begun.
That's some good advice from Patrick there on The Advertising Show. We're just about to get in conversation with Frank Zaza, Creative Director and Chief Executive Officer at ITVX. Product placement is what we're talking about today. And you heard us talk last hour with Julie Winehouse and Steve Oakes with Hero Product Placement. Had some interesting thoughts there as well.
You know, I forgot to mention, Ray, that they are their client. They have a very special client for you and me that I forgot to mention on the air last hour.
What would that be?
Grey Goose Vodka.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
And we need to ask them for some samples, I think.
Product placement?
Place it right over
on
here.
The advertising show.
That's right.
It would look good on that table, wouldn't it,
well,
right there?
Well, I'm going to have to remind them that we plugged them in the second hour.
Exactly.
We're bringing them all the way through the show.
This is good. This is good. We've been talking to Frank out in New York here in
just a
few minutes.
That's true. Well, Frank hadn't sent us anything yet.
Well, he will. He will, I'm sure. Yeah. TV ads don't sell cars.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, right. That's a new study. It says TV advertising has a low impact on consumers' car buying decisions, according to a new market study. But it's word of mouth that works.
Well, wait a minute. Was that done by the radio or the outdoor industry?
This was done by Gap, Gemini, Ernst & Young, found only 17% of the 700 U.S. consumers it surveyed, 700, that's not enough, bow our heads, said consumers surveyed in the past 6 months said the TV ads influenced their car buying decisions. I think that's a bunch of baloney.
Yeah.
And I think you're wrong, and here's what we're going to do with this.
Yeah.
There's the survey. It's out the window.
700, right down the
Frank Zaza is next on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
before ESPN, the reporting of sports was like the reporting of the weather.
The weather sometimes will give us fits.
What ESPN did was make the reporting of sports a sporting event. Sports, funny thing.
Michael Jackson.
If it feels good at that moment, we do it.
Dare I say,
great spot, classic spot, a recent classic, I should say, for ESPN. Mm-hmm. On the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, as we stream live online at theadvertisingshow.com, of course, here across the country on the SSI Radio Network as well. Our special guest this hour is Frank Zaza, widely quoted in numerous publications, including Forbes, Ad Age, Advertising Age, Ad Week, the Washington Times, and Newsweek. He's featured in an entire chapter of Lawrence Graham's bestseller, Capturing the $200 billion youth market. And we welcome Frank, creative director and CEO of ITVX, to the show. Frank, thanks for taking a little bit out of your weekend and sticking around with us for a little while.
Thank you. You know, for having me, and it's such a pleasure to be back on the show again.
Well, Frank, you're one of our favorite guests, and of course, we say that to every guest that repeats twice.
Absolutely.
But you're one of the few that's repeated twice. Ray didn't mention in your bio that in 1986 you received the prestigious ICE Award for imaginative creative excellence and promotion for the placement of a Polaroid camera in Madonna's hands in Desperately Seeking Susan.
Well, that was actually one of the first placements that actually had a terrific effect on sales. It's pretty difficult to measure sales and product placement, but I don't know if you remembered in Desperately Seeking Susan, Madonna took the Polaroid camera and started photographing herself as she lied straight down. And what happened was little girls were emulating Madonna and dressing up like Madonna and literally was taking pictures of themselves, and the parents thought it was a great idea, and the sales were attributed to the placement in Desperately Seeking Susan.
Well, before the show today, Ray was showing me some Polaroids, and he was calling her Madonna, but I don't think it was the same thing.
I knew you were where you're going to go with that.
Well, we know you, Frank.
Give him enough rope, and he hangs himself.
Oh, unbelievable!
You know?
from
being on the show, Frank, we know you from before, and I think our audience would find it interesting just to touch a little bit on your background before we before we talk about ITVX, which is a great company on the cutting edge of product placement and valuations for product placement, and we'll talk about that in a second. You were involved in a unique little thing having to do with Seinfeld and seaweed. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, actually, that goes back a while when product placement was done on a relationship basis with the studios. And actually, not just the studios, but more with the set dresses and the prop people who went from one set to the next set. You had a relationship with these people, and that's how you got the products onto the set. Today, it's a little bit different where you're, the big deals are being cut by the networks and the advertising agencies. But going back 10 years ago, it was really a one-to-one relationship that you had with the set dressers and prop people. In any event, we had a unique situation on Seinfeld. You know, everyone probably remembers when Kramer was hitting the golf ball into the water and getting the golf ball stuck in the whale. You probably remember that episode. But the unique thing was that we were located on the East Coast, and they asked us for East Coast seaweed, okay? Now, what the hell is East Coast seaweed? Obviously, in the West Coast, the Pacific Ocean has a different type of seaweed, and in order to make it look as realistic as possible, being that Seinfeld was located here in New York, although it was shot in California, we sent 40 pounds of seaweed.
Oh, jeez.
East Coast seaweed. You get it. Over there. And, well, the relationship was very strong because when the cameras started rolling, they had their seaweed, and they said, Frank, who do you represent? Because that's what we'll use as the golf ball, and Titleist got the, you know, the nod.
That was your client.
So it's a very unique situation.
Did you think about
how product placement the stories have unfolded.
Did you think about picking up zigzag rolling papers when you were having the seaweed sent out there? Let me ask you, you were involved with the Junior Mints episode, weren't you, with Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that. I think I know we all remember Kramer.
Again, it was a relationship marketing deal where the cameras had to roll. They needed a candy that went actually was ingested by a person during an operation. They thought the person would die. It was totally humorous, but they needed the sign-offs to say whatever candy it was, whether it was a Junior Mint, M&M's, Reese's Pieces, whatever it was. They needed the sign-offs, and they needed it within 24 hours. And that's why today you can't get that happening. By the time the writers write and the cameras roll, the negotiations are dead, okay, unless there's a reputation with an agency. So they contacted us, and We looked at a few candies, and the first one to step up to the plate was the Junior Mint. And we looked at it, and we got the sign-offs, except for one part in the script. And you probably remember the Junior Mint episode.
Sure.
There's not too many product placements are named after the episode. It's called the Junior Mint episode. At the end, when the doctor, Kramer offers the doctor a Junior Mint, oh, and he says, oh, thank you. Those can be so refreshing. In the original script, it said, oh, no, those things can kill you, jokingly. But we were fortunate enough to do all the sign-offs and ask the writers if they could change that last scene to, oh, those can be refreshing. And they did it, and all the sign-offs were there, and the cameras rolled, and everyone was happy.
Well, since we're talking about entertainment, do you think that E.T. is really what brought back product placement into the mainstream?
I think the eyes of the world were astonished with E.T. Not that it was what brought product placement. I think that they attributed sales to product placement. And the way that sales were attributed was the promotion that was done with E.T., okay? It wasn't just getting the product onto the set. It had to do with the promotion surrounding it. Also, the increase in sales was not as clear as it should be, because the Reese's Pieces was just starting. It was an offshoot of the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, you see. So I don't know what their sales were for the prior year, because they were only out a year. So the Reese's Pieces may have had only a few million dollars in sales. The following year, because of the Reese's Pieces and the promotions, even if they did another $1 million in sales, it was a 50% increase.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say that candy was an M&M's, okay?
Which turned that down,
and,
right?
And you just got like a few million dollars worth of sales. It wouldn't be a fraction of a percentage.
And is it true that M&M's did turn that down, right?
Well, and rightfully so, because it was a scenario there where, you know, Spielberg was the main person who did a movie called Jaws, you know, that actually, you know, eight kids, you know. There was a movie out there that was an alien that was also eating kids, you know. And you're running to the number one company whose name is the name of the product, M&M Mars, and saying to them, do I have a movie for you from the maker of Jaws who did this? And
hey, Frank.
An alien.
Frank, let's take a break here for just a moment,
sure.
Okay? On the Advertising Show, Frank Zasa, Creative Director and CEO at ITVX. We're talking about product placement today. Mm-hmm. With Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth, we got the Wacky World of Marketing. That's coming up next.
And now, it's time for the Wacky World of Marketing.
Wacky World of Marketing.
Here's your host, Bruce Abbott.
Our wacky update heads to Germany, where one politician is campaigning for traffic lights to make bird sounds. He says the ticking noise that the traffic lights make for those who are blind drives him mad and suggests the lights ought to make bird sounds instead.
He thinks the bird sounds would be relaxing, but fellow politicians think it would be too expensive to change the signal and potentially dangerous. One politician said if a real bird sings nearby, a blind person risks walking straight into a car. We'd be better off using the deep sound of a roaring stag, he suggested. And that, my friends, is the wacky world of marketing.
This program was written and produced by Bruce Abbott, executive producer of The Advertising Show. Join us next time when we uncover the strange, the bizarre, and, unfortunately, the true wacky world of marketing. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. You're listening to The Advertising Show on the SSI Radio Network.
Congratulations, Mrs. Benderson. You're the mother of a future president.
We'll name him Stanley.
Well, Stanley boy, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be governor of New York.
Your father and I have decided, Stanley. You'll go to college right here, and until you know what you want, you'll be in pre-med.
Yes, Mother.
Stanley, I want my daughter to have a good life.
Yes, sir.
And as soon as you two are married, you'll join my company as a partner.
But, sir, I don't know anything about belts and purses.
What's to know? You'll learn, like I did.
We can't take a vacation. It's my big purse season.
It's been the big purse season for 10 years, Stanley.
Now that I've sold the purse business, Helen, maybe we can have some excitement in our lives.
Like what, Stanley?
Well, we could, I don't know.
We are gathered here to pay our last respects to Stanley Benditson, beloved husband of Helen. We at Shady Nook Retirement Village all knew Stanley as something more than a good gin rummy player.
Isn't it sad to live your whole life and never make a wave or rock a boat? Join the Peace Corps.
He also had the lowest cholesterol count in his cabin.
That is a great spot. Classic spot on The Advertising Show. Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth with our special guest this hour, Frank Zaza, Creative Director and CEO at ITVX. Today is Product Placement Day.
You know, in last week, Ray, you mentioned about a petition that was recently filed with the FCC by consumer watchdog group Commercial Alert. For those that may not be familiar with Commercial Alert, you're certainly familiar with Ralph Nader,
sure,
which is his organization, that the agency, they're going to talk to the FCC and asking the agency to require TV networks mm-hmm. to prominently disclose product placement in their shows. And we talked about that last weekend, and I would rather hear from Frank Zaza on that. Frank, what's your take on Ralph Baby here wanting to put a disclaimer on there for those idiots out there that don't know we've got a product placement in our face?
First of all, when I read it, I had to show it to a few people who also started laughing as well. And, you know, it's a real world out here. You know, you walk down the street, and I live in New York, and you look up at the billboards. Do you see generic billboards facing you?
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Pants go here, soda goes here, you know. It's a real world. So advertising abounds us every place we go, and that includes television. And product placement on television has been done since the year of the flood. It's just making some noise now because you know, the commercial is dying out a little bit, and people want to get their content in there. So Ralph Nader says, well, I'm tired of counting screws on cars and how many are missing, you know, missing screws on cars. What's hot? Let's see. Product placement. Now, what is this doing to consumer awareness? Are we inundating them with too much subliminal advertising over here? I have a great idea. When during the show, while they're hitting you with what to see and what not to see, and you know, little flag buys that go back and forth, and promos that are happening anyway, and the logo of the channel that you're watching, every time a product placement comes up, why don't we have a disclaimer come by that will say the cereal box that Jerry Seinfeld is eating out of is a paid endorsement? This would, I mean, everyone would be totally aware that that's a paid endorsement and really enjoy that show so much better.
Well, you know, right. In my mind, you're getting more bang for your buck because you're going to visually get the name of your product on there in addition to having it in the scene.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you know, and I agree with you, Frank. I think apparently, I mean, let's face it, Ralph Nader, how long has it been since he's been in the news?
I don't know. He's counting screws.
Was it the Corvair or the Vega that we're talking about?
But the Pinto.
Yeah.
Did he do the Pinto, too?
I think he did.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I definitely was the Corvair.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, let's talk a little bit about ITVX. I found it fascinating the first time we had you on the air many months ago talking about your company, and it's all about assessing value for product placements. On our guest last hour, we were talking about objectives that a product placement that the product company themselves, the company wanting their products placed, might have and might talk to a product placement agency about. And what I found interesting about that comment was that they said it's, you know, really all about exposure. And you've figured out, Frank, a way with your company, ITVX, to assign a value to the actual performance of a product in a motion picture or television program. We just about have a minute or so left. Talk a little bit about that, and we'll catch more on the other side of the break.
Approximately 2 years ago, when everyone was running towards the Wild West of product placement, and the American Idols were up there with $26 million media buys and product placement exposures, and the restaurant, and all the different series that are happening right now. Everyone went from approximately 8 companies back in the early 80s to approximately 250 companies and agencies that are doing this product placement. No one has said, well, what is going to be my return on investment, and how do I measure the subjectivity involved in a picture and its performance? And approximately two years ago, Brett, I left the product placement industry for the valuation of product placement and taken into consideration various variables that through my experience of 23 years and as well as other industry experience and academia to formulate a system called ITVX, which will be able, it's an ongoing system of to evaluate product placement performance. So as we measure certain criteria, it will spit out the actual value of the product placement if you plug in certain variables into it.
Let's take a break here, Frank, with Frank Zazza, Creative Director and CEO of ITVX, with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
Hi, I'm Joe, and this is Tommy, and we love Kellogg's Frosted Flakes.
Great! All right, one more. Come on, come on. Great! Good, good.
We head into the wilderness every fall to get in touch with our Tony, our masculine beast within.
Great!
Yeah, there's a weight shift. You start over here, and then A.
Great spot. Never got in touch with my Tony.
Yeah.
On the Advertising Show, special guest is Frank Zazza, Creative Director and CEO at ITVX.
Yeah, Frank, last break, you gave a great illustration of how ITVX measures and quantifies product placement performances. Take us through, if you will, a bit of the evaluation process and how you arrive at a value for product placement.
Sure thing, Brett. First of all, what do we measure against? And what exactly the marketeers have spent, and that is for the commercial. They bought a commercial on a show, so that costs, let's say, $250,000. The first thing we do is break that commercial, the dollars spent on it, into the commercial second, dividing that by 30, giving us a number to value a product placement second against versus the commercial second, you see? Our next thing is to evaluate the product placement second as to its level of impact, whether it's a background placement, a background close-up, foreground, hands-on, verbal hands-on. There's 10 levels, and there's an assessment of a value that's attributed to each level. Now, where the commercial second is equivalent to that of the product placement second, is the point where you see the actor utilizing the products, a la Jerry Seinfeld, eating cereal out of, honeycombs out of a Post cereals box, you see? Mm-hmm. So at that point, that second is equivalent to the product placement second. Below that is a tremendous variable, and above that it is a tremendous variable as far as the valuation goes. But those valuations or levels are also tweaked by three important factors. It's called presence, clarity, and integration. What is the presence of the product? Is it among clutter? What is the clarity? Is it clear? And most importantly, and I had this conversation with Steve Heyer from Coca-Cola, is the integration of product placement. We put a significant value in that in the valuation process. Let's take Coca-Cola, for instance. Coca-Cola, its presence is all around the world. You can go to Tibet. You can go to Piccadilly Square or to New York's Times Square, you'll see the presence of Coca-Cola, okay? But how influential is a product placement to have Coca-Cola on a set and just in front of a person? Not much.
Right.
What Steve Heyer wants, or what every good marketeer wants, is a story about their product in the form of product placement, with a beginning, a middle, and a resolution.
Mm-hmm.
So that's called integration. To have Coca-Cola on a set is one thing. To have the actor say, I'm thirsty, someone going into the refrigerator, getting him a can of Coke and handing it to the actor, and then the actor replying as a resolution, you know what? That really satisfied my thirst. It's a real thing.
It's great value there.
Okay?
Right? Yeah.
That's total integration.
Mm-hmm.
The more it tells about the story, a product placement, with a beginning and middle or end, the higher the integration value comes, and it can zoom up the value of that commercial second, or the product placement second, to be worth almost 5 to 8 times that of a commercial second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it's that integration that plays a very important part. And another aspect is called our awareness factor. If I take you, Brad, and say the awareness factor is the ratio based on a viewer's awareness to the recall of the content in a show versus their awareness to the recall of the commercials in the same show,
mm-hmm.
you say? So if, let's say, the venue, if you're watching commercial TV, there's an approximately a 1 to 6, 1.5 times greater value watching or recall to commercial TV than there is to the commercials on that show. Now, if we eliminate the commercials on that show, and let's say we're watching Sex and the City or The Sopranos, your awareness to content goes up even a little higher, so
sure.
approximately 1.8.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Frank, we are running out of time here.
Yes.
I wish we could continue this. Maybe we will do that in the future.
I hope so.
I hope we can. Frank Szasz, our special guest today, creative director and CEO at ITVX. Go to ITVX.com to find out more with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. And, Frank, thanks for being with us today.
It's my pleasure, guys. Such a pleasure to be with you guys.
We'll be back in just a minute.
Thank you.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
I love the sound of the rain. Mm.
And I love the taste of your fresh fruit coffee.
Oh, thanks, but it's not fresh fruit. It's Nutreka.
Like we said, nothing outlasts the Energizer. They keep going and going.
Back with you for one final segment this hour on The Advertising Show. It's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. We had to let Frank go rather quickly. You know, it's mm-hmm. just the nature of the business.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Creative director and CEO of ITVX, ITVX.com.
Yeah. If you want to learn more about that, just go to your website, type in ITVX.com.
Mm-hmm. Or product placement.
Or product placement. Or nude product placement, and there's Frank's picture.
Yeah.
No.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Hey, did you hear what Al Gore is up to?
Got a beard again?
No, no, he's clean-shaven. Looks pretty good.
His
looks
wife?
Like he may have lost some weight. I don't know. Former Vice President Al Gore and a group of investors have plans to launch an all-news channel.
Oh, I've
all
heard
news
about that,
channel,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it won't be a liberal alternative
to
Fox News. Instead, it will be aimed at the under 25 crowd. Okay, the under 25 crowd.
Wait,
right?
Has Mr. Gore looked in the mirror lately?
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
Gore-led group of investors is about 2 weeks away from forming an agreement with Vivendi Universal Entertainment to acquire a Canadian-based cable network, News World International, for about $70 million. And let's see, the proposed news network will be positioned as a professional news operation reaching an aware, younger, hipper audience, characterizing it as a combination between CNN and MTV.
Wow. If you want a cheap television network, you go to Canada to buy one, you get a discount because of the conversion.
Because of the conversion.
Yeah, anyway. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's all in Celsius, though, you know?
That's true.
With that.
Channel 3 is really 12, so... you know, it's interesting. A Grand Gala Triple Orange Liqueur is an Italian import, but they've just recently launched a U.S. campaign. Print ads will appear in Food and Wine magazine, inviting consumers to, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Shake up your margarita with a rich Italian.
Really?
Yeah. Grand Gala will also target the Hispanic market, which I thought as I was reading this, uh-oh. How is this going to play with the Hispanics? Well,
right. They're
not stupid. Grand Gala will also target Hispanic market through a series of print ads in Latina magazine, the Spanish-language print ads featuring the headline, "You deserve the best, so does your margarita."
Okay.
So they got the rich Italian out of there.
Yeah.
The ads were created by Triangulate Group, and it will be interesting to see if the Italians can make it into either your or my margarita.
Possibly they will.
Yeah.
That's the real news. Here's the fake news now with Andy Borowitz.
Hi, this is Andy Borowitz for The Advertising Show. And now here's this week's feature from The Borowitz Report.
In a press conference in his native Sweden, former UN weapons inspector Hans Blix has offered to come out of retirement to search the White House for the source of the embarrassing leak about the identity of a CIA agent. Mr. Blix said he was in touch with several of his fellow retired weapons inspectors and indicated that they are all tanned, rested, and ready to search the White House for its leak. Let the inspections begin, Mr. Blix told reporters. The former weapons chief, known for his patience and diplomacy, said he was confident that he could obtain cooperation from the White House in his search for phone logs, but warned that the inspection process could take time. Searching the White House is no small task, Mr. Blix said, in terms of square footage. It's larger than the nation of Monaco and only slightly smaller than Michael Jackson's estate. Mr. Blix added that the Clinton administration proved that it was easy to hide things in the White House, especially phone logs. While the Bush administration publicly said it was considering Mr. Blix's offer to search the White House, privately aides groused that the weapons inspector was merely looking for something to break the monotony of an increasingly tedious retirement. As evidence, the aides pointed out that Mr. Blix had appeared over the weekend at the Frankfurt Book Fair to hawk a proposal for his first children's book, The Little Weapons Inspector Who Could. Elsewhere, California Governor Gary Davis said that in the last days of his campaign, he started groping women and praising Hitler. But it was too little, too late.
This is Andy Borowitz, and this has been a special edition of The Borowitz Report from The Advertising Show. To read more reports or to receive daily email alerts, log on to borowitzreport.com. This is Andy Borowitz saying, keep it fake, baby.
Andy Borowitz on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. As we wrap up this show today, it's been great about product placement.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're more aware of how it works and what happens. We've got Drew Neisser, president and CEO of Renegade Marketing Group, on the show next week.
Yeah, it's going to be about guerrilla marketing. And no, you do not have to go to your local zoo for this.
Nor wear a gorilla suit.
True.
You can just...
Although that might be part of your strategy. But
okay.
No, if you've read anything about guerrilla marketing or if that's a part of your strategy or want it to be, this guy knows it all. It's a company out of New York and should be an interesting few hours.
So Brad and I are going to take the rest of the afternoon off and go enjoy a tall, cold glass of what kind of milk?
soy.
Silk soy.
Silk soy milk. That's right. That's from the fine folks at the Hero Product Placement Company.
Yes.
Not to be confused with, I don't know, just any other product placement company out there, because all we know is Hero.
There you go.
Yeah.
I hope you can join us next week on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. Don't forget to keep in touch throughout the week if you'd like to send a question, a complaint. Send it to Brad if you want to send a complaint.
Thanks.
Or you can call. No, you can't do that either. but the theadvertisingshow.com is the place. And, of course, even as we speak today, this show is being archived. It's being burned onto a 33 and a third LP. And it's being archived onto the website, so you can pick up some of the old shows as well. Matter of fact, Frank wanted a copy.
Yep.
And we, of course, sold him the one where you get it first copy for 99 cents, and then you got to pay for the rest. Advertising Show, sponsored by Advertising Age Magazine on the SSI Radio Network.